They want to come into our session. Great. Paul, Jessica.
Try your mic again.
Okay. Hear you.
I can hear you guys now.
I don't know.
Okay.
See if it works. Almost be dead. Yeah. You can hear us now, though, Jessica. Awesome. Okay, cool. Roll call of members. I'll just go around the room. And if I call your name, say here. Mark Fischel.
Here.
Andy Madison.
Here.
Sarah Gold.
Here.
Ben Kessler.
Here.
Tom Brignan.
Here.
Bill Harvey.
Here.
Jessica Saad?
Here.
And Monique Lampke?
Here.
Great. All right. Thanks, everybody. Ben, we don't have the minutes from May the 10th, do we?
That is correct. We are very close. We're using this new system. So they've been made, but they're not publishing quite right. So if you look at the minutes from the last meeting, they'll show up. But yeah, so long story short, we should have them in the next meeting.
So we don't have to approve the minutes. That's what I'm getting at.
That's right.
Okay. All right, great. Well, let's, because the Gilbert Group is not here to give us their property introduction on the Bexley Square, let's go down to Ferndale Properties Update first, and then we're going to turn it over to Nicole from TCB to talk about the OFA stuff. So do we have a Ferndale Properties Update? I don't really think we do. The buildings are torn down. I haven't gotten a quote from Eric. I need to text him on those facilities. So I don't know if you want to text him and just see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that a group text?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was you, me, and Eric Stewart. Lawn mowing. So we're going to get, so we had, Andy, I think we talked about this in our meeting last week, but we're going to get for 420 North Cassidy and for the Ferndale properties, we're going to get a quote from Eric to do the lawn mowing, Eric Stewart, to do the lawn mowing there. The city's been doing the ones at Ferndale. So, you know, we obviously should do it and pay for it and all that good stuff. So we'll do that and go from there. But that's really it on the Ferndale property. So, why don't we, so let's go to our North Cassidy properties update. And we have Nicole Boyer from the Community Builders here. We are going to, we all know that for 420 North Cassidy and then the property on Livingston, we were working with the Community Builders. We had applied to the Ohio Housing Finance Agency for a low-income housing tax credit. We learned a couple weeks ago that we did not get funding for that, or we did not get approved for that. Some of you know Nicole. I don't know if all of you know Nicole, but some of you do. Sarah and I have been working with her for her. I think they can see you, actually. Hopefully they can see you. That's okay. Okay, that's all right. Oh, we've got a couple other members of the CIC on the Zoom too. So let me just take a step back. And so we have Jeff Walker. If you could say here when I say your name, Jeff Walker. Troy Markham.
I'm sorry.
Here.
And Dave Bolin.
Here.
Great. Thanks, guys. So if Nicole, if you wouldn't mind just talking about the application, hopefully that thing works. It was working when I tested it before.
Yep.
Talk about our application, talk about the scoring. You know, I think there's one big reason why we didn't get the award. But if you want to go through that, and then we'll open it up to questions from the CIC and go through there. And then we'll have a discussion, as we talked about. We'll have a discussion about kind of what we do going forward. And then we'll probably, and you don't have to stick around for this, Nicole, I'm sure we have members of the public on our list. They'll probably have some questions too, but we'll answer those. But Nicole, go ahead. Thanks for coming tonight and talking to us.
Well, I apologize if I blow people out. I talk loud to begin with. So thanks for letting me come. It's nice to see people in person. So this is my second in-person meeting. So very, very exciting. But yeah, as Nate mentioned, we did not receive a low-income housing tax credit award through the Ohio Housing Finance Agency in May. And Jeff Beam and myself with the community builders, we've been having some discussions with OFA and just with some other partners, kind of talking about, you know, where did we maybe miss the mark? Because we knew we had an application that was a compelling story. Bexley is a neighborhood, it's a community that OFA wants to help support mixed income housing and low income housing tax credit housing to come to the community. But there are some hurdles within the QAP, which is the Qualified Allocation Plan. It is the guidebook that the state agency puts together that kind of guides where and how they award these competitive tax credits. And so we knew, excuse me, going into the application that we had a score that wasn't 100% competitive, but we thought we had a compelling story to tell and that the agency might look favorable on that story and also just on the support that we had from the city and just for overall initiatives to bring low-income housing tax credit housing into a community like Bexley. Unfortunately, as Nate said, there were a couple big scoring hurdles where we lost points that we think we can actually make up for next year. And so we are saying we are not down and out. We're just saying that we're going to take a minute and think about a strategy and go back in next February. The biggest point loss for us was just the way that OFA defines local partners. We think the CIC is a wonderful partner, and we want to continue to partner with the CIC in some capacity in this development activity because it aligns with the goals of the CIC around spurring development and aligning with the city's goals of providing mixed income and equitable housing. However, the way that the state agency defines a local partner, it just didn't align with how the CIC is doing work here in Bexley. And so what we want to do, the strategy that we at TCB would like to take, is we actually want to use these next 6 to 8 months and really lean into some of these discussions that we started having with the DEI, with South Bexley Neighborhood Association, and with other organizations to really think about what can we be doing? How can we be expanding this project? So it's not just the sticks and bricks on one site, but is more integrated into the overall community and into the overall community initiatives. And who is the right partner? Who is the partner that is serving the residents right now that maybe live in the Mayfield apartments or live in another apartment complex and might be income eligible for a project like this, but just aren't taking advantage of maybe all of the amenities that are available to them in the community? So that's one of our strategies. We think that if we can find the right partner, the right community provider of services or other sort of facilitation of engagement, that's one way we can make up those critical 10 points. And then the other points that we left on the table, and we had shared this early on, was just the project size. And that's been a challenge. We know that there are concerns already as it is on both sites around the density of the units. We maximize the density on both sites. We're not going to increase those in future iterations, but we're trying to figure out what is a way that we can be competitive in the 2022 February cycle to have enough units to be able to get those 4 points that we left on the table. I say all of this with the caveat of OFA is currently in the process of drafting a new QAP, so a new guidebook. That new guidebook is supposed to be issued this month. And so we're really excited to kind of see what OFA is going to be coming out with. This is the first new guidebook in 2 years. And so we are cautiously optimistic that maybe some of those areas that had been a challenge for us before might be easier for us to obtain. But either way, we're going to try and look at the new guidelines and see how we might be able to look at a Bexley Apartments 2.0 and a February 2022 iteration that would be more competitive. All that's to say, I know one of the points of discussion had been the CIC's participation in the Bexley Apartments project and in the low-income housing tax credit project. And we do think that most likely for a next iteration, CIC participation in the ownership is not going to be something that's required and might be something that we actually would talk with you guys about maybe not doing. And so I just wanted to share that because I know that that's been something that's been discussed at length, both within the community and within the CIC itself.
Thanks, Nicole. What questions does everybody have for Nicole? I mean, we as I said, we spent a lot of time kind of going through this with both the Cassidy and the Livingston project. We went through zoning, we went through the ARB, you know, so we've done a lot of that. I think as a CIC, as Nicole said, we've kind of got to figure out what we do going forward with the Cassidy project. TCB has to figure out what it's going to do going forward with the Livingston project. And, you know, that's not what we have to figure out today. But I think that's something we need to figure out, you know, over the next couple months, because that's going to be obviously an important. It'll be important certainly as this next round of funding comes out, as Nicole talked about. So, what questions do you have? I know, or anybody on the Zoom, if you probably can't see Nicole, but if you have questions, feel free. I know Jessica has her hand up, so you can go ask away, Jess.
All right, thanks, Nate. Thanks, Nicole, for coming tonight. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. So, Nicole, just one question. Are we able to get a copy of the final scoring from OFA to see what you are telling us? Could CIC, all of us, get a copy of that?
Yeah, we're happy to share the final scoring results that they sent to us around our specific project. And then OFA just recently released all of the competitive scoring as it relates to the entire set of applications. So we're actually able to see where all of the other applications in our competitive pool scored. And so the ones that were awarded and were not awarded, we're doing an internal analysis of that right now. And we're happy to share that analysis as well as the project scoring with everyone, if you'd like that, in addition to just the project scoring.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Andy.
Nicole, I guess I'm not 100% clear on what made CIC not a viable partner. What, can you give me an example of what a viable partner would be?
So the way that OFA has defined the local partner is it's a partner that has a history of providing affordable housing or supportive services to the community. And so I think when they were looking at the CIC's resume, well, the CIC has a robust commitment. The actual execution of creating affordable housing just has not been there necessarily in the resume. And so that's my guess and speculation, but we can always ask for more information. We can ask for a post-mortem discussion, like a formal discussion with their team to get better clarity on that point. But when they were asking or providing feedback around those points initially, that was what they kind of leaned into, was just the resume itself pointed more towards community investment, but not necessarily that robust affordable housing.
So what would be an example in a like-minded community? What would be an example of an entity that would have been?
If we go just east of here and the Gertrude Wood Foundation, which they provide services and they also do single family infill housing and affordable housing in the Driving Park neighborhood, they would be one that they would look to say most likely that they would be eligible, one, because they provide the services, but two, because they've been doing that single family home investment and doing that, you know, investment of keeping houses affordable at a low price point.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You still, at one point, there was some thought that the application looked stronger with larger number of units. And I think, if I'm wrong, that was why the application was linked on the two sites on one application. Do you still feel moving forward, even though it looks like we're not partnering on Livingston, would you still want to have the Cassidy site as part of that application?
Yeah, so TCB, we are holding our purchase option on the Livingston site, so we are going to continue to retain that site control, and we would look to continue to partner with the CIC to develop the North Cassidy site with that mixed-use program. What we're trying to figure out is, are there other sites that we may be able to look at to have maybe a smaller density duplex or quad plex project to, again, get those unit counts up and maybe even do a couple different sites? So that way we could maybe look at reducing density on Livingston and addressing some of the concerns that existing neighbors and residents have had there.
Great. Monique has her hand up. Monique, you have a question?
Hi, Nicole. Thank you so much for all that information. Could you maybe just break it down for me again in terms of the expected timeline and the next expected steps? I was listening intently, but it just seemed like a lot of information. If you can break it down for me, that would be great.
Yeah, and I'm gonna give this to you, but I'm also gonna say that OFA has not released the newest QAP. We anticipate that the time frame for the 9% application cycle is gonna stay the same, because it has been the same for the last 5 or 6 years. But we anticipate that the next iteration of the tax credit applications would be due in February of 2022. We want to be able to make a decision on what our strategy is for 2022 by Labor Day at the latest. So that way we can have plenty of time to engage community members and really lean into community meetings. I'm super excited about the fact that we get to have in-person community meetings. And so we can do the meetings that, people can come and put post-it notes on elevations that they like or don't like. And really, we can get that feedback and engagement that was missing over the last 18 months. And that was really missing in the last iteration when we were going through the ARB and the zoning process. So our goal is to have a plan and direction by Labor Day.
Okay. And from now till Labor Day, what, if anything, is the process or what are the next steps?
So we're going to start with doing a full analysis of the scoring and all of the projects that were funded, just so we can make sure that our understanding of where we lost the points aligns with where OFA placed us in the scoring. We're also going to have that post-mortem meeting with OFA, just so we can hear from them their takeaways for our application, what were the strengths, but also what were the weaknesses. We're going to look at the QAP. So Labor Day also aligns with when OFA will have their final QAP in place. So we will know what the specific scoring is. And then we're also going to be using that time to further refine our numbers and also, again, look at what are maybe some other options for site assembly to get that unit count up, but also maybe reduce the density on some of the other sites.
Great. Thank you so much for that information.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Other, and I think, Nicole, I did want to say, part of that discussion, and we spent a lot of time on us being the partner of that, part of your discussion is going to be figuring out who the right partner is. We'll have to figure out, I think, what that means for the CIC, what that means for Cassidy, how we're involved, if we choose to be involved. I mean, that's a decision we have to make as a board and figure that out. And that we'll have to make, in our coming meetings, we'll have to figure that out and decide if that's a path we want to take. Obviously, TCB would like us to do that, but we need to figure out if we're going to stay down that path or if we do something different with Cassidy. And I think, I mean, Nicole, this is, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I think that the next application, if the CIC is involved, we're not going to be in the lead part of that with you because we lost 10 points as a part of that. So that will be something definitely that we're going to have to figure out.
Does the mixed use part of it, does that hurt the chances or no?
No, the mixed use part had no impact on the scoring and it didn't hurt the overall project. The way that it was structured, the way that we had proposed the structure with the condoing of the residential and the commercial would be the way that we would look to do it if there was a second iteration on North Cassidy, but there was no negative impact as it relates to that integration. I actually, my own personal opinion, this doesn't align with the QAP, but I think a mixed use project actually is, that's just a really strong project, especially in that location.
I have a question. Jeff kind of started alluding to this, I think, but the number of units, what is the sweet spot for unit count? Like we were at like 40 some, right?
And we were at 43, which was the lowest number of units we could get and still get 1 point. 50 was the target. And we did have 50 at one point, and we just had too many units on both Livingston and Cassidy.
Right.
So when we were doing the numbers, we got down to 43, but we lost 4 points because of it.
So just seven more units mm-hmm. would pick up those points.
Yes.
That's interesting. Okay. Thank you.
Other questions for Nicole?
Under the current QAP.
Yeah, they could change. They could change it to 40.
Yeah, 40.
41, 42. Any other questions or comments from the board?
I have a quick question, Nate.
Yeah.
For Nicole. Nicole, wouldn't we have known going into that? And again, this is not my expertise. I'm just asking as I'm listening to you. Wouldn't we have known going into that that would have cost us points or... Am I looking at this the wrong way?
No, we knew going in that we were going to lose those 4 points. So we knew that we were already at a disadvantage on that level, but we didn't think that we were going to lose the other 10 points around the local partner. And that was a massive blow.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, was it because Nate's the chair? Was that the real issue?
Probably it.
No, it was not.
I will say, I mean, you know, if we decide to go forward in February, I'm happy to not be the chair anymore. I'll throw that out there. Anybody that wants to be the chair. I mean, I'm done, I think, at the end of this year. Yeah. Yeah.
I saw Dave Bowen volunteer just now.
Oh, Dave's the man. He's in. All right.
Nate, there'll be other ideas for you, Nate Green. Don't you worry. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Something.
Just one other. I know I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but when you say that an appropriate or a stronger community partner, I understand somebody that maybe provided affordable housing, but you're saying other community services? So what a community service organization would be a partner, an attractive partner? They didn't, even if they didn't have a history of affordable housing, or it has to be community services around the concept of affordable housing?
Oh, it would have to be a community partner that provides services that our residents could take advantage of. So some of those community partners that are eligible usually provide workforce training or financial literacy. They provide the HEAP, so the weatherization issues, like the funding for people when they don't have enough money to pay for their bills. It can also be a partner that maybe just has robust physical capacity in terms of places for people to go for physical education if they provide daycare services. There, it's a wider range of partners and the services that they can provide, because every community and every partner is different. And some communities have one partner that provides only one prescriptive set of services. Bexley is really fortunate in the fact that you are a very service partner, amenity-rich neighborhood or community, sorry, in that regard. And so we think that through our collaboration with the DEI and hopefully ongoing collaboration with the CIC, we'll be able to identify a partner that we think will be a really great fit.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much, Nicole, for coming. Okay, great. Yep. They will be here for that. So, all right. Appreciate it. Okay. Well, let's go. We're going to move back up in our agenda, because we have Ashley and Joanna here from the Gilbert Group. So we are very excited that the Gilbert Group's joining us, that they're going to help us manage Bexley Square. So Ashley and Joanna, the microphone is yours if you want to come up and step up and, you know, talk a little bit about your company. We met, was it last Thursday, I think? Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. We met last Thursday and talked. So,
yeah.
We're happy to have you here. We're excited about you all helping us manage the property. So
yeah,
the floor is yours.
I'm Ashley. This is Johanna.
Yes.
So I've been with Gilbert for 14 years. The Gilberts are great. They're Bexley, originally from Bexley. So we're really excited to take this on. I oversee the property management department, and
I'm a senior accountant. I'm new.
Yeah.
I'm new to Gilbert Group. I'm like 2 months in.
Yeah.
So.
So. But so far this week, we've just basically been reviewing your budgets, looking at some exterior things that we'll send you guys proposals for. Some of the awnings are coming apart, some painting, but we'll obviously get a couple bids on that and get that over to you guys. Got to know all the tenants. We sent welcome packets to all their home offices and their lease, and then walked each space and met every tenant individually. So, yeah, just getting familiar so far this week with all the leases. I reviewed some of your expenses, so I'm going to try to see where we can cut some expenses down. I noticed, like, the trash removal is already over, so I'm going to get some bids on that. And with the trash service, sometimes if you don't cancel or if you don't renew by a certain time, they can just automatically start overcharging you. And so I'm assuming if you guys haven't renewed or been with a new vendor recently, that could be what happened.
We like a reduction in costs, Ashley. So yeah.
So I will. Yeah. I'm happy to do that. Yeah. And sometimes these companies like Rumpke, I think you have, if you don't cancel within so many days, like 60 days before the end of your contract, that sometimes can be a 5-year contract, then they'll automatically renew you into a higher price point. So we'll dig into all that and let you guys know where we're at with that. So
some of those arrangements are kind of funky because, for example, the trash removal gets reimbursed by the apartments and by City Hall. And right. So it might look off kilter because it's serving such a larger group. It's based on the city's pricing, which is a preferred Rumpke pricing.
Gotcha.
And we can cancel that, I think, at any time. It's just an option. So we'll talk about this. And there's recycling, which I know is not usual for commercial properties necessarily.
Yeah.
So some of
we
that
have some recycling
detail.
I mean, a lot of like the restaurants will do the recycling.
Yeah.
But I guess I know that the building over here, they're supposed to reimburse you.
And they haven't been.
Right. Yeah. So I want to look into finding that.
No, we learned that. We learned that from when we met last week. That was something that, that Lydia from Newmark told us. She's like, oh, yeah, they haven't paid. And
neither has the city. Apparently.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know. I just found out about that like last week.
You know, I'm sorry. I was going to let Andy actually tell you that. Yeah. But I'm.
Money back over there. No.
That's right.
You don't want Craig Bean coming after.
He's quiet over there, but you don't want him coming after you.
But then again, we also have to talk about, this is kind of offline, but I looked through that CAM reconciliation, and Lydia had kind of had like the city paying for some CAMs that didn't make any sense City Hall.
See, I'm just saying. See what he's doing now? See how he's, yeah.
Landscaping of the Bexley Square landscape.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shoot. Go ahead, Andy. Turn your mic so everybody can hear you on the.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Nothing more. The one thing I did want to mention is that we have given Gilbert the directive to please not allow us to avoid the roof issues. That we have successfully avoided for like the last 3 years. So
yes.
I'm good at emailing you a lot, and I will keep sending you bids.
And as the CIC knows, we will be talking about it with them, and they will continue to bring it up until we actually replace the roof. So
I actually think what we're going to do, we'll talk about it later. I don't know. We may not have a July meeting, but definitely in our August meeting, we should probably have the bids ready to go so that we can make that decision, because we're halfway through the year already and we've patched and sealed and done everything, you know, that we can do. So
I do know with COVID last year, a lot of these vendors were held off. A lot of owners, you know, kind of put that expense to the side. So a lot of people are doing work this year. So a lot of these guys are kind of out. So I'll touch base with, I have two bids from Newmark, one from Ohio Indiana Roofing, and the other was from, Division 7. So there are two different scopes and two different options. So I don't know if you guys know what scope you want. I can price it out. However,
I don't know if we look, I haven't really looked at it. Have you looked at them, Tom, or is it Andy? Have you guys looked at them?
I have not seen the bid.
We got a quote.
So I have a TPO, and then the other one is EPDM.
I think we want TPO.
Do you want to do a full tear off, or did you want to possibly consider like an overlay?
You can leave it. Sure.
Okay, if that's, because it's probably only has one original. Okay, so if we could cut costs by doing an overlay as long as the first layer is okay.
Our service director also got a quote for $112,450, but I don't know what that includes. So that's okay. Just a lead. I think it was from
Ohio, Indiana.
No, I think Cotterman maybe or something. I can't remember.
Oh, she got another proposal. Okay. Because I have just those two. Yeah.
This was from the city. Sorry, I'm with the city. It's from the city that we got a, because we redid our roof 4 or 5 years ago, probably when that one should have been done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is she able to email that over?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will have
it emailed. Is that Lydia?
Ashley, maybe you want to just talk a little bit so the CIC knows what your daily, weekly, monthly duties and responsibilities will be, you know, whether it's the porter service or you visiting the site.
Yeah.
In general.
So I'm constantly reviewing expenses and budgets. I kind of oversee that. I have a property manager that'll be out here weekly walking, taking pictures, sending like a report to me every week, along with the porter service. I think Newmark had their own maintenance group doing the porter service, so I'll set that up through us. And he'll be out. She said it was okay just to do an hour and a half a week, so I'll keep that same schedule going unless there's issues, then we need to increase or decrease. We can always do that. But I would oversee any, you know, major roof replacements, any, you know, capital improvement projects you guys want to do. And then I'll come out to the property as well every 2 weeks just to make sure our property managers are staying on top of it. And yeah, so that's what I'll be doing. And then she's the one that collects all the money.
I'm the bean counter. But one thing I do need is the banking information, because we have tenants that want to pay rent today and I have no banking information to give them.
Is Heidi on the call?
Heidi, is she on yet? She's trying to
go. Unless we changed, would that really affect anything?
It won't. I mean, I just don't know how, you know, we
use the banking, as we talked about, the First Financial is the bank we used. There she is. Heidi, we were just talking about money right now. Bank accounts for the square.
Well, I was listening. I was I couldn't get myself in to be a panelist. So whoever promoted me to the panelists, thank you. So yes, First Financial is sending me the signature cards to get you added, Johanna, as a signatory, so we can get you in there. If there are checks, I mean, I'm happy to like physically drive and pick them up so I can deposit them. It will, you know, I'm hoping to get the paperwork from them today, or I guess in the morning.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that I know one of the shops, Pilates, I believe, they opened up a new bank account at Heartland, and then they wanted their banker at Heartland to ACH some money over today, but I didn't have the information. So even if
I'm happy to share that too. So that's easy enough that we can share with the tenants. I'll get you that.
Well, an old new tenant. Yeah. It's a new owner of the Pilates studio. Yep. New payor.
That won't have changed. So that's something that I can get you right now. I'm just trying to get you guys added as a, you know, a signatory on the account.
Okay. Very good. And then I did reach out to Lydia today to ask for the 2020 balance sheet for the end of the year. She may have already sent it, but I just didn't see it.
I saved everything to the end drive that we received.
But did you remember?
I didn't see that.
Okay. So that's one thing I would need.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, if you want to send me a list of anything else that is still on the list that either she overlooked or is still out there, I can definitely follow up with her and get those last things taken care of.
Thank you.
Of course, thank you.
Any other questions for Ashley and Joanna?
The next two items, maybe if you guys stick around, because we have a couple things at Bexley Square just to hear about, they'll be pretty quick, but that'd be great.
That'd be great. Yep. Thank you very much joining us. I really appreciate it. All right. mural update. Who is our chair? I think it was Jeff is our chair. Yeah, I think Jeff was our chair. Yeah, he was voluntold.
So we haven't met yet about the mural, but so that's the update. But we will do that.
But she is ready to paint.
She is.
Now, so. If we paint it on this roof, does that delay needing the roof?
Yeah, it doubles as a sealant. That's right.
There's your mural update. All right, talk about your soft serve truck.
So Brassica reached out to us, and they're asking if they could have a couple times a month.
It's once a month. I can't remember if it was a couple.
A soft serve ice cream truck. I guess they did it in Upper Arlington, and it was a smashing success. You know, that's fine from the city's perspective, but from the landlord's perspective, I just wanted to hear what you guys thought about that.
Where would they park the truck?
Exactly. That's the sort of questions that need to be answered.
That was my first question because we have so much space. Well, I think at the Brassica in Upper Arlington, isn't that a standalone facility?
It is, yeah. So they have their own parking lot. They invite Little Ladies is a soft serve food truck. I heard a lot of mmms just happen. They said we're considering actually just one date for June.
So this is a food truck size thing? Is that what you're saying? I'm sorry. I heard Sarah saying.
I feel like we have some experts here.
I just went. They parked in the Bexley Coffee Shop parking lot like once a week-ish last summer.
Mm-hmm.
I went. That's right. Kid. You know, a lot of people would come. It was really great.
But is it a food truck size?
Yes, it's a food truck size.
The city loves this place. I was just at a Kona Ice party for a Bexley teacher retiring, and I had not been, Sarah, but everybody started talking. I was wondering if Ben was going to say, because I saw this on the agenda, Little Ladies, and I kind of mentioned maybe that's what they're going to have. And all of these families say that they go to the coffee shop when Little Ladies is in town. And I guess it's a long line. So, Nate, that's a good question, where to park it, because I guess you would need to expect that it's going to have an awesome turnout.
Yeah, no, I agree, because I think we're going to have – I mean, I think we'd have an awesome turnout. It sounds like that it's popular.
Yeah.
I think the challenge would be where they park it and then where everybody parks that comes to get the ice cream. I think we'd have to figure that out, you know, where they're going.
I think another legal question is this body is perhaps prepared to evaluate the quality of this.
Troy, do you want to be the official tester?
I think it needs to be done, you know.
Also, I would ask at what time of day. I know for the one at the Bixley Coffee Shop, it was like around lunchtime. So that also kind of minimized the, you know, it was busy,
but it wasn't as busy as like people. It.
But if they come, you know, 5-6 o'clock, I'm sure that would be a lot more.
Right. Right.
Good considerations.
They need to do it between lunch and class.
Right.
After the Pilates class.
It could pull up in the in front of, assuming it's okay with Virgin Care or Orange Theory, it could pull up in front of those and be in the lane right next, and then people could serve from the sidewalk. That would work. You're not putting
pedestrians. What about back by the mural?
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's what I was wondering if we could do that.
Are you seriously? That's the That's actually Giant Eagle's property.
It's the trash.
We could put them. It's probably not what Brassica had in mind because I think they're trying to cross promote. I was gonna say we could put them up here, like, you know, next to the City Hall patio, but that would be outside of. That's not what they want.
No.
Is there any room on Main Street right there before?
Yeah, that was the first
turn?
Thing. I don't think so.
Okay.
Because that's crosswalk right here.
Yeah.
And then stop bar.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't.
No,
we've got that.
Right.
So.
Yep.
Hole right there.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
I think you're right. I think if there's a way to put them in front of one of the other storefronts, that'd be the only way to do it.
So why don't
you and I get back to them?
Yeah, we'll just, if you guys are okay with us
generally
talking to them.
If everybody's okay with it, we'll
some soft serve. Glad we got the hard stuff.
I think Troy made a great idea. We got to, you know, go test it out once it's.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll have a CIC meeting at.
At Little Ladies.
At Little Ladies.
We could have the first mural meeting there, maybe.
There you go.
I'll be in person for that one.
Awesome. Okay, cool. We'll do that. Let's see. Anything else on Bexley Square? I don't have anything. All right, let's move down to our finance update. Heidi, do you have the balances? I didn't ask you before.
I do, and I can quickly run through them. In our basic checking, we have just over $37,150. In our Bexley Square, we have $161,762. In our Cassidy account is $3,091. And our Ferndale Mayfield is at $252,125. So those are all with First Financial. And then we have our line of credit with Ohio State Bank, and it's just over $426,000 outstanding. So that is the financial report.
Right.
And I am working, just to kind of reiterate, to get our signature cards all in place to remove the Newmark folks, to add the Gilbert Group folks, and to just kind of get all of that squared away. So we'll get that taken care of in the next couple of days.
Heidi, you also mentioned the audit, the state audit that we have to do every 2 years that you are in the midst of right now.
I am. So I am working with the state auditor. This, as Nate said, it's a, you know, every other year process. So they're covering the last two fiscal years. So we're working to provide them kind of all of their information that they're requesting and working through just their questions and some of our basic financial information. So far, so good. Nothing to report.
And I will just add, Heidi, that in the past, Julian and Grube did these financial reports for us. And this year, the state auditor, I don't know why, I think they randomly pull what they're going to audit themselves. But the state auditor is actually auditing us. I think, I don't know this for a fact, but I actually think that this may be the first year the state auditor is actually auditing us, rather than Julian's group. Does that make sense?
This is the first year in of the past several are also auditing the city.
Okay.
Where we used to have
Julian. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And they seem to be much more detailed in their questioning. So,
well, this is great then for my initial time. So far, so good. We have all of the, you know, Julian and group provided their kind of financial report that they do for us regardless. And then some of the additional information, Sue and Jenny are helping, and we're kind of piecing together all of their, you know, all of the questions, you know, trying to be as responsive as we can. So far, so good.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Heidi. We are going to move into public comments. So if we have any attendees that want to speak, please raise your hand. And if you just recall that the for those of you that have been here before, you have 3 minutes to talk. We will take all those comments and then we'll answer those comments at the end of the public comment period. So if anybody has any comments, please raise your hand and we'll give you time to talk. All right, Larry and Ginny.
I just have one question. Ferndale Place was on the agenda, but I didn't hear any discussion about the Ferndale Place area.
I mean, I can answer that. We did talk about it. The Ferndale, we own two units down there that have been demolished, and we are in the process of getting lawn care contracts for that. That's the update there.
And for the record,
I didn't hear that, but I guess I thought maybe there was more to be said. Thank you.
Oh, and I'm sorry, before we let you go, if we could have your name and address as well, that would be great.
Sure. It's Larry and Ginny Christofferson, 885 Francis Avenue.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right, great. Thank you all for attending our meeting tonight. Do we need to move into executive session?
Yes, which
we don't have a, do you want me to send out?
We will need to do a separate link. Yep.
Can we do that on your?
Yeah. So what we're going to need to do is we're going to need to adjourn into executive session and then
let anyone on the Zoom call know that we will come out of executive session. If they wish to see us adjourn our whole meeting, which is all that we plan on doing, they're going to have to come to City Hall to witness that part, because we're going to have to end this in order to broadcast in somebody in executive session.
All right. Do you want me to do a new meeting, though, for?
You guys are good to go if you want, or you can hang around.
Yeah, no. You're adjourned. You don't have to stick around. You can't stick around in our executive session anyway, so.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to send out this. I'll send out a link.
Let me see if I can.
And then just come back. Would they have to come back in?
We're gonna. Everybody else can get booted.
Okay. So I need a motion to adjourn into executive session. I don't have the verbiage though. Mark, do you have
it? Oh, there's no way I have it memorized. Oh, look at that, baby.
Section
223.03. Hold on. Get a cheat sheet. All right. So I need a motion to adjourn into executive session for Section 20, Ohio Revised Code, Section 22.223.03. City of Bexley Code.
Yes.
See all these things I learned when I sit at this table? City of Bexley Code, Section 223.03. Subcolumn B, to consider the purchase of property for public purposes or for the sale of property at competitive bidding, if premature disclosure of information would give an unfair competitive or bargaining advantage to public interest. So moved by Mr. Brigden, seconded by Mr. Madison, and I need to take the roll. So Mr. Fischel?
Yes.
Mr. Madison?
Yes.
Ms. Gold?
Yes.
Mr. Green, yes. Mr. Kessler?
Yes.
Mr. Brigden?
Yes.
Harvey, great. Mr. Markham?
Yes.
Ms. Saad?
Yes.
Mr. Bolin?
Yes.
Mr. Walker?
Yes.
You and I call. And Ms. Lamke?
Yes.
All right. And Heidi McCabe.
Me too. Yes.
Great. All right. Thanks. Thank you, everybody. And we're going to adjourn into a.